Well, good Monday afternoon, Saskatchewan. I'm Jamie. He's Locker. This is the Green Zone Locker. I love when we get into the studio and we crack open the text line and people are already firing opinions at us before we even open the microphones.
Something about a coaching search in Edmonton.
Yeah, Corey wanted... This is Corey's text, okay? Ahem. Ellipses. Jamie and Locker. Breathe in. Breathe out.
He's into yoga.
I'm not going to scream and shout. Nope. I lied. I'm going to scream and pull my hair out if they do. It's shameful to even consider this. And then he sends the screen grab of TSN's Darren Dreger report that the Oilers are consulting the NHLPA before potentially hiring Mike Babcock as their newest head coach.
Can I say this, Corey? Who else are you going to put back there? Honestly.
Wait for Bruce Cassidy to get permission to talk to you.
Fine, but Bruce is. He's not a.
No, he's not a soft
player's
person.
Coach. I don't hate this. I was entertaining the idea of Torts if Vegas doesn't keep Torts.
Drew Remender's coming up. Drew knows Mike Babcock better than most people. He sat in the room at the University of Huskies and watched film with him. Babs allowed him to do that with he and Michael, and Michael just got a job with the Bulldogs in the OHL, youngest coach ever in that organization. Mike Babcock's son is now coaching the O. And so Drew will tell you why this would make sense for the Edmonton Oilers to go get Mike Babcock at 63 years if they're going to go get Mike Babcock. But then there's another text. So there's one on that. And then Kirk texted in, we need the old Rouge back. Kirk wants to bring back the Rouge the way it was. Because watching a returner make no effort to recover the ball and watch it bounce out the end zone is ridiculous. And then they get the ball at the 40. What is it going to look like next year? That'll be damn near center field. Now you're getting penalized for a good kicker. Oh, people are fired up today. Let's get into it.
Let's go!
And now, the starting lineup.
Just wait till you hear what the commissioner said about the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. But we begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup. The top sports headlines, and yes, through the weekend, Vegas survives an insane comeback from the Carolina Hurricanes.
Howden still with possession. Former captain of the Moose Jaw Warriors, back to McNabb and across. Theodore missed.
I'll be honest, I did not see the goal go in because of what Chris Cuthbert said.
Howden still with possession. Former captain of the Moose Jaw Warriors.
At that point, I turned to my son and said, did you hear that, Brett Howden? I watched him in the W8, and then the puck was in the net, and I was like, what the heck happened? Weird bounce off the end boards by Shea Theodore, and it was in the back of the net. Looked like an innocent play. Golden Knights 5, Hurricanes 4, double overtime. What a historic night, though. Let's dig through what happened Saturday night. First off, the Hurricanes made a historic comeback by forcing overtime after trailing 4-0. Could have been the first team ever to come back and win a Stanley Cup final game after trailing by 4 or more. Of course, they didn't. Then Mitch Marner scored the fastest 3 goals in Cup history by scoring his hat trick in 6 minutes and 10 seconds, breaking Rocket Richard's previous mark in 1957 of 6 minutes and 21 seconds. Marner, also the first player ever to register 4 points in one period in a Cup final, and the Hurricanes broke a playoff record with 3 goals in 39 seconds. Game 4 tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, and the debate is now who should start in net for the Carolina Hurricanes after Brandon Bussey impressed 18 saves on 19 shots. The only one that went by him went off the backboard, hit him in the pad, and went in.
Yeah.
And Freddie Anderson has struggled a bit so far.
I'm putting Bussey in
the final.
I'm sorry. I know that might not be the popular choice, but...
Well, throw it out to the audience on the text line. What, who would you... If you're the coach of the... If you're Rod Brind'Amour, who's starting game four tomorrow night in Vegas?
And Dylan Larkin has given Detroit three teams he'd accept a trade to.
Viva Las Vegas! Viva Las Vegas!
So he has a full no-trade clause on an eight-year deal. $69.6 million deal gives him a lot of leverage. Now, this morning, we hadn't seen this. Scotty saw it, brought it up. And then Jamie and I wrote down our three teams, and he got two right, and I got two right.
We both said Vegas.
We both said Vegas.
And I said Florida Mini. And Tampa.
Yeah.
And you said Mini, and who? Oh, you said Edmonton.
I put Edmonton in as a lark. Right? So here's the thing, and I'll throw this out there. If there's a general manager in the league that goes to his number one center, the captain of his team, who was born in Detroit, who has the cojones to say, I don't care what you do. I'm not trading you. You signed a five-year. You got 5 years left on your deal. It's Steve Yzerman. I realize that there's a lot more power in the hands of the players nowadays. And you'll see situations where guys like Tkachuk kind of started this, mm-hmm. leaving Calgary, going to Florida. And there's been a handful of examples. We saw a big one this year with Quinn Hughes demanding a trade out of Vancouver. I think Yzerman puts his foot down. That's my prediction. And goes, unless I get something I really, really want, you can sit. I don't care how long it takes.
Yeah, he's only played 3 years of his 8-year deal. And remember, Dylan Larkin was the one who demanded a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
So.
He's 29. He won a gold medal with the U.S. at the Olympics. So we got a taste. So a lot of people are speculating that he is like, okay, I'm in win mode now. So I kind of understand where he is, like, you know, on.
Are all these... Are these U.S. players trying to do like what LeBron did and try to build super teams? Like in the Olympics, did Quinn like, hey, let's, hey.
Buddy, well, him and Quinn are buddies,
yes,
too.
Yes, they are. Let's go to Minnesota. You try to get a trade out of Detroit. I'm done in Vancouver. They know that. Let's go to Minnesota. Matthew Tkachuk, right? Hey, maybe he said also, Dylan, you can come over here. Jack Eichel with the Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. They're all
buddies. You know, It wouldn't surprise me, guy. Like, you're not going to tell me guys don't chat. Like, they don't have conversations like that. 100% they do. Now, I think.
Well, apparently, Shea Theodore and those guys for Vegas were talking to Mitch Marner at the Four Nations about playing in Vegas.
Yeah. So I suspect that's what's happening here, right? And I wouldn't be surprised that the buck stops with Yzerman. And I hope he does. I actually really hope he does.
Helene St. James is going to join us from the Detroit Free Press. She's covered the Red Wings since Yzerman was a player on what to expect on that front. Meanwhile, Game 3 of the NBA Final goes tonight at a locked-down Madison Square Garden.
On Friday, thousands of Knicks fans celebrating the team's Game 2 win. Police arresting more than two dozen people. One person accused of punching a police officer in the face multiple times.
We will have no tolerance for violence.
Similar scenes unlikely tonight. The watch party planned outside the arena has now been canceled.
Police have the barricades ready to go. They are lined up around the entire arena.
Yeah, they're asking for people to show up 2 hours in advance. Fences are all up around Madison Square Garden. The watch party's canceled, all because of one man. Yes, Donald Trump is going to the game tonight.
Oh, that's
so the Secret Service and the New York City Police Department decided this is the best way to lock down Madison Square Garden. So the outdoor parties, all that, have been moved to other locations in other boroughs around New York. You can go to watch parties, but not the one outside Madison Square Garden. And, like, no bags. Bring your phone and your wallet. And that's what you're going into the game with tonight. NBA Game 3, of course, it's 2-0 for the New York Knicks as they are two wins away from winning their first title since 1990. 73.
I hate it when politicians. This isn't even a Trump thing.
I remember you were so ticked off at Carney in Winnipeg.
Stay home. Stay home. We can get somebody else to flip the coin. Anyway, CFL week one is a wrap with the Edmonton winning their opening game for the first time as the Elks.
Fajardo climbs the pocket, checks it down underneath, and finding some clear space. Running is Justin Rankin, and the explosion of Justin Rankin on full display to open up the second half. Cuts it back with five Red Blacks, finally bringing him down to the turf.
The Elks 29, Red Blacks 21. The Elks have never won an opening game of the season in the 5 years since the name changed. So is this a sign of better things to come this year for the Edmonton Elks? Justin Rankin proved why he should be higher on the CFL top 50 list. He went 102 yards and rushing and 94 yards receiving. The Bombers and Stamps had a close one, came right down to the end. And there was a great run by Vernon Adams Jr. Mm-hmm. at the end of the game to tie it. Well, actually, they went up 1 point, and then Zach got the ball back and went down.
I was close to going 3-0 this week in my picks. Thanks, Bombers, for ruining
that. So you had Calgary.
Yeah.
That was very close.
I was very excited when Vernon Adams Jr. ran that touchdown in, but then it was like 1:40. That's way too much time.
Without Brady, they're not within field goal range.
Oliveira?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, two very good games this weekend. Three great games.
Going back to Thursday, it was great. And, of course, now we get the Riders this week. Tailgating, banner raising on Saturday at Mosaic Stadium. Meanwhile, the World Cup, the world, is arriving to North America for the biggest sporting event. Not in chains, don't rattle no more. This is Jelly Roll's World Cup song. They have a playlist on Spotify, by the way. The World Cup has a World Cup playlist. Shakira has one of the theme songs. She'll be opening things up on Thursday in Mexico City. And then there's a whole Canadian contingent for Canada's opener on Friday at...
Let me guess.
I almost said the wrong name.
The
at Toronto Stadium. Don't call it its actual name by the sponsor, because that sponsor doesn't sponsor the World Cup. So it's Toronto Stadium, not BMO Field. Oh, sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that. Ridiculous. So it's a new format this year. 48 teams up from the usual that you usually have at 36. There will be 104 matches played, 39 days. The final will be July the 19th. And again, Canada takes on Bosnia and Herzegovina, 1 o'clock Saskatchewan time on Friday afternoon to open up the World Cup. Coming up next here on the Green Zone, what do you think what Stuart Johnston had to say about the Bombers?
The Blue Bombers are the model franchise of the CFL. And it's really, I think, impossible to argue with that.
Impossible to argue with that. Maybe Stuart's right. Have the Bombers taken over as the CFL's model franchise? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. So what do you think of what Stuart Johnston had to say on Winnipeg Sports Talk?
The Blue Bombers are the model franchise of the CFL. And it's really, I think, impossible to argue with that.
Impossible? To argue with that? Now, I've said it on the show a year ago, 2 years ago, like Saskatchewan. Are we losing the flagship franchise title to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers? And there are some that said yes, absolutely. Some that said no. They have 700,000 people in Winnipeg. If Regina had that population, we'd have as many sellouts of the Bombers. Like, we should be. With half the population, we get more than half the attendance on what's going on in Saskatchewan.
Winnipeg does a good job.
They do. Oh.
They deserve some credit.
I always think it's a dead heat between the Riders and the Bombers on who the flagship franchise is.
I think if you take into consideration travel and how many times you're... Like, if you're in Mexico and you see a Winnipeg Blue Bombers jersey...
That's a little more rare.
That would be very rare. If you
Rider
see
jerseys?
Yes. Like you almost
at the Eiffel Tower
go.
When I was in France. Yeah, that'll happen.
You can't go anywhere in this country without running into Rough Rider fans. I think that puts us a little ahead of the Bombers.
So, is Stuart right? It is the Bombers. Time now for the Green Zone 1 Minute Drill, the latest in sports. The New York Knicks can move within one win of their first NBA title since 1973. They take on the Spurs tonight in Game 3 of the NBA Final. But Donald Trump is locking things down around Madison Square Garden because he wants to go watch some basketball today. So the New York City Police Department and the Secret Service have decided to cancel the watch party outside and have a no bag policy for those going into. Not a clear bag. It is a no bag policy for tonight's basketball game. No Freddie Anderson at practice for the Hurricanes. They say it's a maintenance day for the goaltender of Carolina. And a Mike Babcock rumor I was not expecting. Darren Dreger's reporting the Oilers are doing their due diligence with the NHLPA to see if it's all right with them if they were to hire Babcock as the Oilers' next head coach. Lots of opinions coming in on that, too, on the text line. Open line. Phone lines open right now on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie Locker with you on this fine Monday afternoon. Almost skipped a day. Did you dodge the thunderstorms? The storm chasers were all over Saskatchewan. When Reed Trimmer and those guys show up, you're like, uh-oh, that can't be good. And they're in the southern east part around Carlisle, Mydale.
That'd be a fun gig.
Okay, we're debating this at our house this weekend.
I would do this.
Because we threw up one of the storm chasers on the television.
Yeah.
Because there was no sports yesterday afternoon. Blue Jays were done. No hockey, no basketball.
It was a weird day.
I watched the F1 race already in the morning. Kimi Antonelli won his fifth straight race at 19 years old at Monaco. Five straight races for that kid. Unbelievable.
It's the Tiger Woods of F1.
Feels that way. So we threw the storm chasers up and we were having that. Who would do that? A, B, would you do it? Why would you do it? And would it be fun? Majority of the house said, no, it would not be fun. You know me, Locker, you've kind of joked. I'm the resident meteorologist here on the Green Zone.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued by it.
Me too. I don't know why, because I'm a little risk adverse. Like, I'm not the guy I got to get talked into going on the roller coaster or the zip line.
Not me.
So, yeah, you got a little more of that in you.
Yeah. My daughter and I just ran all over, like, Universal and
you know what you need to do? Disney is you need to show your family Twister. The original one.
My daughter just watched it.
Okay.
But not the original one. She watched the second one.
Ah, not as good.
She said the first part's quite traumatizing, to be quite honest. I said, yeah, you should see the first one. When did that come out? I was probably her age when that came out. So.
When was that?
It's a good question.
96, Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton.
Yeah, I was pretty well her age when that came out. I think I saw that thing in theaters. So.
Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it. He had a great role.
I hope not too many of you. I know there are those with damage and flooding and all that stuff from the downpour and some of the tornadic activity.
There's always that. But the thing about weather for me, especially in the prairies, is how quickly it can move in. And I'm always, I'm the guy sitting out on my front steps watching the clouds like roll in if there's a good one.
My son pulled off the perfect old man move over the retiree move, I call it, over the weekend. We have some stuff on our street that needs to be fixed. So the crews came by. He pulled out a lawn chair.
Sat and watched.
Just a little resident supervisor out there.
Yeah.
Watching
He's an old
machine.
Soul, is he?
he is, to be quite honest. Jamie and Locker. Now, speaking of storms, is a storm a brewing in Edmonton, Alberta, around the new coach of the Edmonton Oilers? Oh, man. I did not see this coming. Although, Bob Stauffer on Oilers Now 3 weeks ago had Brian Lawton on, and they were talking about Mike Babcock. Would it make sense to have Babcock as the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, which had the general... Now, you need to know something about Bob Stauffer and who Bob Stauffer is. I will disclose this. It's information that isn't a secret. Bob Stauffer knows Daryl Cates personally. He personally knows Daryl Cates.
That explains a lot.
So is it a coincidence that the host, Bob Stauffer, would know about a Mike Babcock thing potentially happening
a couple of weeks ago? I'll answer for the audience. Yes. Yes, it does make
sense. What I'm saying is we should have known once Bob Stauffer says anything about the Edmonton Oilers that he might have got a tipsy over there from the owner, Daryl Cates.
Or it could also work the other way, where Bob opens his pie hole and says, hey, have you thought about Babcock, Daryl?
No, I don't think it would go that way.
Hey, our goalie situation isn't improving. Maybe you should get rid of Skinner, Daryl.
I hope it wouldn't go that direction.
It goes the other way every once in a while as well.
I hope it doesn't go the other
way. There's rumors that it does.
There are. I hope that's not the case.
There are lots of rumors.
Although
Stauff has more say than he should in anything.
So here we are today with Darren Dreger. Now, Dregs reached out to Babcock 3 weeks ago about this, and Babcock told Dreger, I'm retired. I'm good. Now, Dreger's the one who reports that, hold on a second. The Oilers are approaching the National Hockey League Players Association on where is Mike Babcock's status for the NHLPA if they want to hire him? Because you remember what happened at the end of Columbus. There was it wasn't the rumbles. We did know it to be true that at some point Mike Babcock was asking to see summer photos from the players. And it got twisted that he was creeping on them or privacy breach and all that stuff, which I guess with human resources, maybe it would to have a manager go, hey, let me see your summer vacation photos.
Can I just weigh in?
It would be awkward if Murray ever said that to me. Although when I came back from Paris, I imagine I showed him a few.
Can I just jump in there? Because here's how that should work. Like, if you go to see something, like you go to Paris, you go to see Taylor Swift, and you come back, and you're excited about your experience, I can see you passing your phone around showing us photos. It's another thing
as a manager to ask.
Or anybody.
Yeah.
Like, anybody to come in and go, hey, give me your phone. I want to see your pictures. That's a step too far. And I just think that's common. So I understand why that was you can defend it from the perspective that, okay, he's just very interested in you and your life. It's a step too far by demanding to look at your phone. He's in a position of authority. Most young guys, the coach is saying, hey, give me a look at your phone. I want to see your fishing pictures. Heard you talking about you.
Well, Drew told the story with us.
Yeah.
When, like, with his granddaughter, Babcock will be like, hey, do you have any pictures of the granddaughter? And vice versa. And Drew would be like, oh, here's Rosie and whatever.
They're more on the same.
Yeah, but that's where Mike is in his head. He's not doing anything callous or vindictive. He's just curious. Right? So, but in 2026, it can be twisted a different way. So Mike Babcock's in a bit of a bind there with the Columbus Blue Jackets future.
Did he do anything else?
No.
Like, it was the phone, and he did the weird Mitch thing with Marner stuff.
Yes.
And a lot of guys didn't like him because he was brutally honest with them, and he was hard on them. And so there's that. But lots of coaches have that. Like, just about every coach in the NHL has a reputation of being, well, they were really tough on us. They were really angry when we lost. They were really angry when we didn't back check.
But here's the thing. What did Connor McDavid say about what he liked about John Cooper at the Olympics?
Attention to detail.
Attention to detail. I will tell you, if there's anybody in the National Hockey League who is more attention to detail than John Cooper, it's Mike Babcock. Like, if you want attention to detail, game specific, how deeply he thinks the game, Mike Babcock, that's your guy. But the reputation is he's a bully. And that came out of the Toronto Maple Leafs locker room.
Yeah.
That came from Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and all the people in the media that are friends with them and all the stuff they said that, oh, Mike Babcock's a bully. And of course, then there's the Detroit Red Wings. Some of the guys didn't like him. Mike Commodore, Thomas Holstrom. You could go with Mike Badano, who he did not play the 1,500th game. 1,499 is where his career stopped with Mike Babcock. And people think there's an ego thing with Mike that you're never going to get by.
I don't think people think that. I think that. Yeah. I think he's got that.
That label, absolutely, because of the reputation. So,
certain personalities.
Do you like that move? If it was tomorrow and Stan Bowman announces a news conference with Mike Babcock sitting next to him, he's the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Locker's opinion as an Oiler fan is what? Are you going, okay, maybe he can get the most out of this crew, or are you going, oh no, McDavid and Draisaitl are going to ask for a trade and it's all over? Because that's where a lot of Oiler Nation is right now. Like,
You know what I think needs to happen in the world that we live in? We need to stop tiptoeing around issues. I think when a guy makes a mistake like that, or he's created a culture where he's tough on, like, I don't know. Like, I'm kind of in the suck it up princess camp. I hate to be that guy, but I'm not siding with the players here.
You're from a generation that's old school.
I want Steve Yzerman to tell Dylan Larkin, pound sand, you can sit for 5 years. I am not trading. That's what I want. I know that's not going to happen, but that's where my head goes. I'm almost wanting Mike Babcock to get this job to see if he can get anything out of these guys.
1-877-332-8255. More reports from Elliot Friedman and Darren Dreger that, oh, it's true. Sources are telling that Daryl Cates and Mike Babcock have definitely spoken, and others within the Oilers organization have spoken.
It's crazy. Mike Babcock. I also kind of like the craziness of it. I admitted last week that if Vegas doesn't keep Torts, that I'd like Torts to be considered for Edmonton too.
Yeah. But
did you see that piece that he did with Elliot?
Tortorella
before the game on. Okay, like, I'm telling you right now, if you watch that, you will like this guy.
1-877-332-8255. Is it right for Edmonton? Open line time here on the Green Zone. Wayne in Saskatoon. Wayne, you're watching the Stanley Cup Final. Are you jumping up and down for Mitch Marner?
I am, except, you know, I mean, there's another side to that. I don't want Carter Hart to see the cup, but I want Marner to see it, definitely. For all the stuff he took from the Leafs and from Nylander and Matthews yelling at him all the time, he's having fun. You know, you watch him, he's having fun, he's the leading scorer. That's amazing how a guy like him, who couldn't do anything in Toronto, is now king of the hill.
And
I'm very happy for him. I don't want that Carter Hart to get one. I just don't. But I want Marner to one time stuff.
Yeah, I texted the group chat with Locker. I'll turn the TV off before that trophy gets handed to Carter Hart. But I do want Mitch Marner.
If Marner gets it.
But I do want a parade down Front Street with Mitch Marner and the Conn Smythe Trophy and the Stanley Cup would be, oh, hilarious to watch. Many of those fans wanted him out of town.
My issue with Marner isn't so much about whether or not he's a good hockey player. It's I don't think he took accountability for it. I'm not hanging out with him.
Yeah.
Right. But it is interesting. Babcock calls him out for being, you brought this up in the Green Zone Lounge.
The whole meeting was about his defensive play.
And he's one of the best defensive forwards in the NHL now. So, again, like, is that credit to Babcock? Like, did he have the wrong approach? Maybe. But would he ever gotten through that ego of that kid? Maybe not. Maybe it took a Babcock to do it.
Yeah.
You can be angry at Mike for his approach.
And what do the Oilers need to be better at from Draisaitl and McDavid? They need their forwards to commit better defensively.
And you might not like how everybody gets there.
Oiler Nation is losing their collective right now. That Mike Babcock might be the new head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Coming up next, one of the all-time broadcasting foot-in-mouth moments of all time, and it led to one man walking 12 days from Philly to Pittsburgh. We'll tell you the story next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On this day in sports history, you know, as a broadcaster, every so often Locker and I will say something that we put our, like, the Vegas-Anaheim series is the most useless, or I almost had to grow a mullet because of Connor McDavid. Well, how about this one? The year 1989, on this day, the game started like this.
Ground ball to Reddy, and the force out at third. The Pirates in the first inning scored 10 runs. Eight hits.
Yeah, it was 10-0 after the first inning. They had lost 7 of their previous 8 on an 8-game road trip. This was their last game on the road trip in Philadelphia, which led broadcaster Jim Rooker to say,
"Well, I'll tell you something right now. If we lose this game, I'll walk back to Pittsburgh."
"You'll have to."
"I won't have to, but I will."
Well,
fly ball into left center field. John Kruk over. He's there. The Phillies bounce back from a 10-0 deficit. They beat the Pirates in the final 15-11.
Hopefully he had good shoes.
So Jim Rooker arrived back home at about 3 a.m., woke up to phone calls from his coworkers saying, did you walk home? So they aligned it with charity. And in October, after the season was over, Jim Rooker put his shoes on, and it took him 12 days, but he did it.
He walked
from Philly to Pittsburgh.
Good for him.
But on this day, it was Pittsburgh up 10-0, June 8th, 1989. They lose the game 15-11. Time now for the Green Zone 1 minute drill, the latest in sports. Game 3 tonight, NBA final, Spurs in New York against the Knicks. No outdoor viewing party at Madison Square Garden, where they've been for the first two games, because Donald Trump has arrived for game number 3, so it's complete lockdown. Fans are being told to arrive to the arena 2 hours, like an airplane flight, 2 hours before tip-off to go through security at Madison Square Garden tonight. Rumblings out of Edmonton. Reports from Darren Dreger that the Oilers have spoken with and could be closing in on Mike Babcock being the next head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Drew Remenda knows Mike well. Is he surprised? And what kind of coach would Edmonton get if they lock down Babs to be their new bench boss? Drew Remenda is next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.